Christmas is quickly approaching. This year it may feel a little bit different, but really it isn't. Christmas is not primarily about trees or lights and presents. Christmas is not about family get-togethers and parties. Christmas is not about well wishes and good feelings. Now, don't misunderstand me. None of these things is bad or wrong in their own. In fact, I think we all need them, and they offer a wonderful feeling and distraction at this time of year. And we need all those good feelings that accompany Christmas. But let's not forget, for some people, these good feelings are missing. Some have lost loved ones in this last year, and this Christmas is especially difficult for them. Some have lost jobs, and Christmas this year is not what it has been in years past, and they're missing some of that. And others are just so tired of the last year that they've been living through that they just don't even feel like it's going to be Christmas this year. But I want to tell you today that none of these things is really what Christmas is about. See, Christmas is deeper than all that. Christmas is even greater than all that. Christmas is the story of God. Over the last few weeks, we've been looking at different parts of the Christmas story to see what they have to teach us about God. We learned about Simeon and Anna, and we learned that God offers us hope. And then we listened to the stories about the angels and the message to the shepherd and how they promised that we would have peace. Last week we revisited the message the angel Gabriel delivered to both Elizabeth and Mary, and how that was a reminder that joy is what God is bringing to this world. Today we turn our attention to the birth of the baby in the manger, to the culmination of the promise that had been made thousands of years before. There's a gospel writer named Luke. It's one of the four gospels. And Luke writes this account of the birth of the baby Jesus in Luke chapter 2, verses 4 and onwards. It said, it says, "So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them." There's a saying that says Jesus is the reason for the season. And while this little saying is true, I believe it doesn't capture everything. It doesn't unpack the truth of this Christmas season. You see, Christmas is all about love. Jesus, the baby of Christmas, is the expression of the love of God the Father. Way back at the beginning of mankind, way back in the beginning in the Garden of Eden, sin came into the world and ruined the relationship between mankind and God. There was a wedge, the wedge of sin that broke the relationship that man had with God. And as a result, God had put into place a plan to repair that broken relationship. His plan was to send a Savior into the world, a Savior who is the baby of Christmas. Another gospel writer named John writes this. He talks a lot about love, and one of the things he tells us, it's a well-known verse. Some of you may even know the reference, even if you don't even know the verse. It's one of those references that shows up at sporting events and Olympics, and people are holding up placards. It's John 3:16. And John 3:16 says this, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. You see, God loved us so much that he made a way for us to have renewed relationship with himself. God so loved the world. That's what that verse tells us. The very first Christmas gift was a gift from God to us, the world. It was the gift of his only son. So today I want to look at this gift, this love that God has, for God so loved the world. And the first thing I realize about this is that love is Jesus. See, God knew that this world needed Jesus, that we were in need of a Savior, that we were in need of a repair to the relationship we have with God. We were in need of forgiveness. We were in need of God. And John, who wrote 3:16, also has an epistle later in the New Testament, 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 and 10. John writes about love again. He tells us this. He says, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. This is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins." John tells us that God is love. Love is his nature. God personifies love. And God has expressed it to us by sending us Jesus. And the baby of Christmas, the baby in the manger, is the representation of God's love to this world, to mankind. It's the example of God's love. And so the baby of Christmas is love. And Christmas reminds us that we can count on God's love. God's love will not let you down. It fills us and encourages us. It calls us and enables us to know God's love. God doesn't take his love away from us. God doesn't change his mind about us. Regardless of how this Christmas season has been shaping up for you, whether everything is going well or if these have been difficult days, you can count on God's love. The story of Christmas is your reminder that God loves you and cares about you. Never forget that God loves you. Never forget that the Christmas story, that the baby of Christmas, is God's example of his love for you. And so at this Christmas season, you could always remember that love is Jesus. Love is the baby of Christmas. And if love is Jesus, then love defines us. Near the end of his earthly ministry, Jesus gathered his 12 disciples together and he wants to share with them. And he tells them this, which is found in John again. John loves to talk about love today. John chapter 13, 34, we read these words, "A new commandment I give you." This is Jesus speaking. "Love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." Did you catch what Jesus is saying? He said it three times in these two verses. Love one another. Loving one another is what defines those who follow Jesus, those who call themselves believers and Christians or Jesus followers. As Jesus teaches his disciples, he wants to leave them with an important reminder, an important truth. He wants to make sure that they love like he does. How will people know they are his disciples? By the way they love others. We need to understand that love is what sent Jesus to this world. That love is what characterized his ministry. Love is what kept Jesus on the cross. And love is supposed to describe his followers. Love is what describes a follower of Jesus. It marks us and characterizes us, at least At least it should. One of the tell signs of a Christian should be their love. Jesus told us to love each other the way he loved us. Now, this is a tall order. I understand that. But understand this. If Jesus told us to do it, then Jesus expects that we can do it. We may not be able to do it on our own. We will need God's help and the help of the Holy Spirit. But Jesus told us that we are to love one another. The problem is we tend to be a little selfish. We at times tend to be a little self-centered. We have this human desire to seek out our own comfort first. But Jesus is asking us to love others first. What would it look like for you to love others like Jesus loves? What type of sacrifice would that take on your part? And let me just pause here for a moment to tell you this. Over the last number of weeks as a church and as a community of faith, we've been working towards our Christmas drive. And I know you're going to be updated later in the service, but I want you to know that so many people gave sacrificially that we were able, and you were able to bless countless numbers of people. So I thank you. That is what it is to love one another, to give sacrificially, to put somebody else ahead of ourselves. And that's what Jesus is calling us to do as his followers, to live in a way that loves others first. So that's what defines us. So what else do we need to do as the next year unfolds? What could you do to be able to allow love to define the way that you live? Can you find an opportunity during this Christmas season and in the new year to allow God's love to flow through you to someone else? See, love defines us. And if love defines us, then it goes to say that love moves us to action. God so loved the world that he gave. God's love for you moved him to act on your behalf, and he sent his son into the world. God's love for you moved him to action. God's love for you moved him to send Jesus into this world as the little baby born in a stable and placed in a manger. God's love is all about action. For God, love is a verb. It's an action word. He acted by sending Jesus. Jesus acted by coming as the baby. Jesus acted by sacrificing himself on the cross. All of these love are action words of doing. The Christmas story isn't just for those who accept Jesus. The Christmas story isn't for all those who accept the love of God. The Christmas story is for everyone, even those who reject the Christmas love. The Christmas story is there for anyone, even those who reject the baby of Christmas, Jesus himself. But for those of you who know Jesus, for those of you who are Jesus followers, you are called to take the love of God and move it into action. Jesus told us a story about this. I don't have time to read you the story. If you want, you can go later. You can find it in Luke chapter 10. It's a story about putting love into action. It's the story that we have subtitled the story of the Good Samaritan. And let me just give you the highlights here. But the story opens with a Jewish man traveling between two cities. And as he's on the road between these cities, robbers jump him and beat him. And they actually leave him for dead on the side of the road. And then a short time later, a Jewish priest, one who ministers at the temple of God, a Jewish priest comes along and he's traveling along that road, and he sees a man beaten and left for dead on the side of the road. And the story says the priest crossed to the other side of the road so that he could avoid coming in close contact with that man and avoid the uncomfortability of seeing that. And he moves on. And then we're told a little while later, a temple assistant, one who works in the temple assisting the priests, he too is traveling down that same road. And he could see that there's a man beaten and laying half dead on the side of the road. And he kind of does the same thing. And he just moves over and moves on. And didn't want to be bothered. Didn't want their lives to be dirtied by somebody else's mess. Didn't want any part of that. And then the story says a third person comes along the road. This man is a Samaritan. And the Samaritan stops to help this man who's left on the side of the road. Now, the part you need to understand here is that Jewish people despise Samaritans. But it was a Samaritan that came to the help of the beaten and robbed Jewish man lying on the side of the road. The story goes on to tell us that the Samaritan bandaged the man's wounds, put him on his donkey, walked him to an inn, and then paid the innkeeper for the upkeep of the man. That's a story about love. It's a story about the action of love. It reminds us that love must be an action. You are called today to see the baby in the manger on that first Christmas, to see that the baby is the love of God expressed, to understand that the arrival of the baby is the love of God coming into this world, to know that the love of Jesus should change you, who you are, and how you live. If you are a Jesus follower, then you are called to put love into action. Christmas is much more than all the things that come wrapped up in it. Like I said at the beginning, there's nothing wrong with any of that. There's nothing wrong with the lights and the trees and the parties and the get-togethers, as small as they may be this year. The problem happens when we lose sight of the truth of Christmas, of the purpose of Christmas, of the story of Christmas. If we forget that Christmas is about love, if we forget that God loved us and God sent Jesus as our Savior, and that Jesus came as the baby of Christmas, he came and he taught us, he died for us and he rose again. If we forget that God loves us so much that he wants us to have relationship with him, then we lose the true story of Christmas. If you have missed the true story of Christmas, if you realize today that God loves you, if you want to know God and have a relationship with him, all you have to do is believe. Believe in the baby of Christmas. Believe that Jesus came to be your Savior. Believe that Jesus died on the cross and rose again. He did that so that you can have your sins forgiven. You can decide from today on that you want to be a Jesus follower, that you want to live your life in respect to who Jesus is for you. And we want that for you. If you're listening to us today and you don't really know God, or God seems far and distant from you, if the Christmas story has kind of been lost, it's become gifts and wrappings and trees and parties, and you've kind of lost that true story of Christmas, today I'm reminding you that the true story of Christmas is God's love for you, and God cares about you. And if you would accept Jesus, if you accept who he is in your life and what he's come to do for you, that you could live in relationship with him, we want to help you on your spiritual journey. And we ask you to just reach out to us. And one of the simplest things you could do is just pick up your phone and text us. Text me the word love and text it to 416-267-1189. Please follow the prompts. It's going to ask for your name so we can get in touch with you. And we will get back to you because we want to help you on your spiritual journey. We want to help you begin a relationship with God and become a follower of Jesus, to take the Christmas story and make it personal to yourself. So Today we are rapidly approaching Christmas. It's just a few days away. I invite you and I challenge you to rediscover Christmas. Rediscover that Christmas is really about love. Rediscover the love that God has for you, and rediscover that God wants you to know Him. Would you pray with me today? Father, we just come to you right now and we just thank you for the Christmas story. We thank you that Christmas is all about your love, that Jesus is the representation of your love to us, and that your desire for us is that we would know you, that we would love you the way you love us, that we would be thankful for all that Jesus did. Lord, as we move to Christmas this week and the days to come, Lord, let us just stop and remember the true story of Christmas, and that we would make Jesus the center of our lives. We give you glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen.